Welcome back to the Strong and Lean at Any Age podcast. I am Susan Ebergall, and today I have my rock star client, Melissa, joining me. Now, I asked Melissa to come on the podcast because she has gone through a period of struggle, specifically with her nutrition. And the struggle was centering around basically what her goals were versus the actions she was willing to take to get to those goals, and became very much of a heels dug in. I don't want to do this, but yet I want this result. And people can get caught in that cycle a lot. And Melissa will walk us through what she did, what happened, what she and I did together, and how this put her on the other side of it. And she has an entirely different outlook on what she needs to do and how it relates to her goals. And she's in such a better place. So I can't wait for you to hear what Melissa has to say. So go grab your coffee, put up your feet, and take a listen. I think you're really, really going to love this episode. Melissa.
Miss Susan.
Hey, it worked. Yay. How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
Awesome. Awesome. I just fingers crossed that technology kind of looks down on us in a favorable way so we can finally get this thing going. But I'm super excited to record this with you. I want to fill everybody in here a little bit. Melissa is one of my clients, one of my rock star clients, and she and I have had some really, really great conversations of late about things that she has been struggling with. And so I thought this would be a great podcast because I think some of the things that you've been struggling with and had to think through and readjust and all that are things that people are struggling with all the time. And I think how you've approached this is so amazing. And I think people really could benefit from hearing kind of your story. So why don't you do this? Why don't you start by just kind of telling everybody just a little bit about you, your background, and how you kind of came into the whole fitness thing?
Yes. Well, I am Melissa. I'm 51 years old, and I am a postmenopausal woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, my background, I've always exercised. I think most people would consider me a pretty healthy eater. A clean eater, whatever that all means.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I've never had like a big weight issue. But with age and menopause in particular, I just noticed like the stomach and thigh fat and jiggle that it was just becoming more and more uncomfortable for me. And not even just from a vanity standpoint. I mean, that was part of it, but it was just, I just was tired of thinking about it. And all the things that I used to do when I was younger just weren't working, you know, whether it was increasing exercise or doing some crazy diet regime or whatever. So anyway, I just started looking for information specifically for women of my age and, with my hormones and, just at this season of menopause, but it was very clear as I was looking for something that I wanted it to be sustainable. I wanted it to be a lifestyle. I didn't want it to just be some crazy, one hit wonder kind of thing. And I didn't want it to be a lot of elimination of foods. You know, I was just kind of tired of doing the crazy, I don't know, things that just limited my life and, I wouldn't be able to go out to eat with friends.
Sure, sure.
I wasn't willing to do any of that. And so that's kind of how, I don't even know exactly how I found you, Susan, mm-hmm. but, as I was doing some of those searches, like, I just started following you and loved your message of, it's not easy, but it's simple. You know, mm-hmm. we don't moralize food. We're not about restriction. And that you just lift and you lift hard and you're patient. And so it just seemed like it fit really well with what my goals were mm-hmm. in wanting to create sustainable, a lifestyle of habits that could help me feel good and help me lose this belly fat.
Yeah.
And those goals have stayed pretty consistent. So like when we first started working together, you know, it's very clear you wanted to know what my goals were. And I think, you know, it was nice for me to articulate that clearly for myself. And it was just that, to create lifestyle habits and to lose some of that tummy fat. And you had me start tracking for, I think it was like about 6 weeks that I was really diligent with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I started feeling this like crankiness about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was like, I hate this. I don't want to do that. Like all this resistance started coming up.
I remember. Yep.
I literally like would find myself getting mad about it.
Mm-hmm.
And was just really frustrated. And I guess I think, you know, looking back, I think I thought that the weights would be the hardest part of the lifestyle to incorporate. And it was by far the easiest part. You know,
isn't that funny? I think you're not alone with that at all. Because I find what's interesting is when I talk to people about if they're struggling with fat loss or everything, and I ask a bunch of questions, the answers always come back regarding the workouts. Like they need to add more. They need to do this. They're always focused on that as that being the mountain to climb, but they don't talk about the real mountain that they need to climb, you know?
Yeah. That big elephant in the
room. Yeah, that big. That's exactly it. It's the big elephant that no one wants to talk about.
No, we want to stay in denial as long as you'll let us.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
But anyway, so I think we went from there, and I had shared with you that I was just feeling cranky about it, and you were like, well, let's try this 3-plate and 2-snack method, you know, and just see how we are there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was still feeling like there would be times when I would feel like I was going crazy because I would like eat things that I wouldn't normally eat, or I would find myself craving things that I was being triggered.
Yeah.
And again, was super, super frustrated.
Do you think that was too much leeway for you? Do you think that's what was driving that? Or what do you think was driving that regarding the 3-plate kind of thing?
Yeah, I think it was. I think it wasn't, it wasn't enough
structure
for me.
Yeah.
So I kind of felt, you know, like I was floating out there, and I'll be honest, Susan, there were a couple days when I was like, why doesn't she just give me a damn food plan? Like,
yeah. Right. Yeah. You know, what to eat.
Exactly. I just didn't understand it because my workouts, they were very, you know, it was to the T. It's like, so I wanted to be relieved of all responsibility of that.
Sure.
Now looking back, I realized that, you know, I wanted my coach to do that for me.
You know, and this is such
it was too hard.
Yeah. Well, this is such a great point and something that so many people probably would feel the same way. And I'm sure there are people out there right now that are nodding their heads with this. I used to be one of those people. That's why I went to Jenny Craig back in the day. Because what is easier than you going to a place, picking up all your food, you put it in a microwave, you heat it up and you eat it. I mean, you know, right?
That
at the time was like, this is living large, you know?
Exactly.
But what you started to see, and what I didn't see until I was well done with that, is that meal plans are not the answer for the big picture. Do we all have times that we don't want to have to think? Absolutely. There are so many times that we're like, I just don't even want to think anymore. And a meal plan would be great. Tell me what to eat. I'll just eat it. It's kind of like it's working out too. There are some times where we like to go to the gym and just be told what to do. That's why people like trainers or like having a program. So you don't have to think about that either. But a little bit different with the workout piece, because I think with eating, if you don't learn about portions and calories and kind of the things that you like, the things that you don't like, and weighing and measuring. If you don't go through a little bit of that, I think that struggle just stays with you. It's like you were given the answers to the test and you never studied, you know?
Right. No, I that's exactly what I was experiencing. Yeah, just all that resistance to wanting that, but intellectually knowing that, you know, I needed to do that on my own and work through that.
Sure. And how did you come to that point where you finally said, you know, basically you were calling yourself out?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of interesting because you know how they say that saying is how you do one thing is how you do everything. Uh-huh. Well, our family had just this hellacious, like, 6 weeks of older family members being in the hospital and, you know, doing caretaking there. And we had a death in the family. But I noticed as I was watching my father-in-law and through this whole aging process, like, he had had a fall, but he was resisting changing anything to help himself. Mm-hmm. In to stay healthy in his household, like from, you know, just using a walking cane when he walked, and, you know, he didn't want to do it. And I early in watching him, I was like, you know, resistance, he's just not accepting where he's at in life. And then that thought came back to me later, you know, towards myself and all of my resistance. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just not, you know, I have these goals, but I'm just not taking responsibility for where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
And then in dealing with all of them, I kept finding that I would have this recurring thought that I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And so it was between the observation of a family member's resistance and me being aware of my own thoughts when I would get into my own resistance, I realized that it's just, I'm telling myself this big lie that I don't know what to do. Now, I may not know what to do perfectly, but my coach has given me a bunch of tools that I know, I definitely know what to do. And I know I need to be tracking in order to reach the goals that have remained consistent this entire. If my goals had changed and maybe I didn't care about that belly flub.
Yeah, right.
But I'm still caring about that and want to release it. So
yeah. And I think what's amazing about what you just said is that through taking care of elderly parents-in-law, I went through the exact same thing and their resistance. That hammered it home a lot for me too with my own mom. So I can relate to that so much. And we are as the children of them saying, if you would just do this exercise, or if you would just do that, the quality of your life would improve, you know, immensely or whatever. And how they were so resistant. And it's interesting how you could take a step back from that and kind of look inside yourself about your own resistance that you were putting up to taking responsibility for what was happening and not happening.
Right. Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think taking responsibility is where it all starts.
Well, and I will tell you, since doing that and being aware of that thought, mm-hmm. It has been a total game changer. Like, you know, and it's not been long, you know, you and I just talked about this, you know, what, a week ago or so, uh-huh. But I feel like a weight has been so removed from me. Like there is not, don't get me wrong. It's not like I just feel like meal planning, you know, planning what I'm going to eat is easy by any means, mm-hmm. But I'm just not experiencing that charge on it that I was having. I don't feel the kind of resistance that I was. And I really don't expect that it will rear back, only because I'm so clear that I don't want to be in that space of resistance. I still, these goals are still really important to me. And to do that, I do know what to do. And if I don't know what to do, I just try something else, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And so much I love about what you just said. I think you're owning what you weren't doing, kind of like what you wanted to have happen and what you were doing to make that happen were not lining up.
Exactly.
They weren't lining up. And you came to that realization. And so you're kind of looking at everything through a fresh lens, kind of. It has a whole new look now, it sounds like.
Absolutely.
I can hear it in your voice. I mean, even when we talked a week ago, you sounded different.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I do. I feel, I don't know, the way I've approached it this week, like when there've been 2 days that I've not felt like doing the plan the evening before.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm able to step myself through it because it's like, okay, but do you want your goals? You know, I mean, which is it?
Yeah.
And you do know what to do. So just do it.
Yeah.
You know, so I have these counter thoughts to, and I think that's, you know, with any kind of struggle, there's always some thought behind it that, you know, we're really good at hiding for ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
And just taking a minute and thinking about, like, okay, what is the thought behind this feeling? And, yeah, I can't even explain how differently I feel.
And I absolutely love that. I think that, that is kind of a turning point for you, just mm-hmm. for a long game kind of thing, as opposed to, you know, I want the belly fat gone. I just want to move on, you know?
Yeah.
And I also think, and I talk about this a lot with people, is that it's going to allow you to enjoy the process a little bit more. I think it's, you're not constantly fighting yourself now.
Yeah. Well, and that's exactly, you know, just on the onset, when, you know, I look at the two goals that I've had from the get-go, from starting this journey with you, mm-hmm. it's been to have a lifestyle, a health style that is sustainable
mm-hmm.
and, you know, that I enjoy for the rest of my life. And when I need to make changes, obviously, as I age and my body changes, then, you know, that I can be flexible and fluid with that, but still have really high goals and standards for myself.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. That's kind of what it's all about, you know?
Yeah.
I really feel like it is, if we can get that down, and it's never going to be perfect, but if we can learn to live with all those bumps and stumbles, and we pick ourselves up and we just keep going, and we realize that one meal's not going to wreck us, or one missed workout isn't going to kill us, or, you know, that we can still go out and enjoy ourselves, and our path isn't going to be a complete straight line. It's going to be full of these jagged up and down, up and down, up and down. You know, if we can finally be okay with that, then I think, wow, you said it earlier, a weight has been lifted off your shoulders.
Yeah.
It's kind of like there's no finish line now. And this is probably the biggest thing of all to me, and probably the thing that has changed my life the most. And that is getting rid of these timeline expectations that we put on ourselves, or that maybe the media has put on, like, you should be losing 2 or 3 pounds a week or whatever, blah, 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 all these unrealistic things. Once we get rid of that crap off our shoulders, it's like, oh my God, I can breathe again. You know, I can live. And I feel like that's kind of where you are.
Yes. Yeah. The time thing, definitely. You know, I think early, as we were working together earlier, like I was almost feeling anxious. Like, this is taking too long.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And now, you know, I do, I feel like, you know, this is my life, you know, this is just how, this is the way I'm living and incorporating this into my life. It's not, it's just part of it. It's not something outside of it. Like the way I used to kind of view my exercise regimes and health style, like it's a completely different perspective.
How did you used to view everything?
I think it was more, it was part of a checklist. It wasn't part of, you know, I do this because I enjoy this.
Mm-hmm.
I eat this way because I enjoy it. It was more about, you know, I expect these results, or I think this is how I should be eating, or I want this. So it's just, it's so completely different. It's, you know, when you realize that, for how long did I do that?
Well, you know, I was just thinking, people in our age bracket, I mean, we've been around a long time, you know, and we have grown up in a completely different society than what we have now. And the crap that we were fed information wise regarding weight loss and what works. I mean, you and I have seen it all. We have been through the high impact aerobic phase. We've been through the, you know, no fat thing or carb. I mean, we have seen all of it. And we have been have ingrained in us over 30 years of garbage, you know?
I know. And I tried every little bit of it.
Yeah.
And part of me was very just interested in it. And that, like I said, I've always been very fortunate that I've never had a huge weight issue or anything. But it was always just interesting to me. But I also see that there was, you know, much like you've talked about, this element of fear that if I don't keep these things up, then I'm just gonna, you know, I'm gonna blow up like a balloon.
Yeah.
You know, there was a fear that was attached to all of these, to high impact aerobics, to, you know, to different eating plans. It was, if you don't do it this way, then you're going to get fat.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think fear drives so much of what we did. And, you know, speaking just for me, fear drove everything into my early 50s still, at a very subconscious level. But, you know, I kind of laugh at myself now. How many times did I tell people when they ask, why are you exercising like every day, like a mad woman? Oh, because I love it. You know, well, half truth, half truth, you know, the other half, I'm not going to tell you because, you know, I was scared to death. Like what you were saying, I think our generation, we have a lot of that. And, and that's another thing that when you own up to that and try to trust that, no, we don't have to go out and kill ourselves every day, doing all the crazy things that we used to do. And what was really probably, at least for me, I don't know if this happened to you along the way, spinning our wheels consistently and not changing anything, you know, we're afraid to step out of that, even though nothing good was happening.
Exactly.
It's amazing. Exactly. It's amazing what fear will do to you.
Well, and it's very sad because, you know, you wonder how much you've limited yourself for. You know, it's kind of sad when you think about it, but
yeah, I mean, it is. And you know, it's so funny. I'm about ready to put up an Instagram post here in just a few minutes about, how from my own story, how I have found my passion this late in my life and how just truly the whole thing I say, if it's never too late, just regarding whatever it is you want to do, fat loss, muscle, whatever it is, we have the power within us to do it. We just have to decide to do it. And sometimes things kind of get in our way, and 30 years of things can get in our way.
Yeah.
But you have done such an unbelievable job of sorting through all of this and owning up to yourself, because I think we are experts at bullshitting ourselves.
Well, and there was that one point where it was just kind of some tough love from you where you were like, you're just going to have to call yourself out on some of this stuff.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You're right.
And it's not always easy to hear, but it's most of the time it's what needs to be done. And once you can do that, it's kind of like a whole new set of doors open up.
Yeah. You kind of are. Based on how I've been feeling since our last conversation, it is, I feel like a completely, just a very different focus right now. So I'm so grateful.
And I really want everyone to hear that, because I think what you struggled with and I struggled with, a lot of people struggle with this, and it is kind of getting caught with the heels dug in. And I don't know, that is an expression of stubbornness that was used, at least in my life, a lot, that expression, when mm-hmm. you have your heels dug in on something. And right. when I talk to people, I hear that a lot. I feel it from them. I know that stubbornness because I did it for however yeah. many millions of years, it seems like, you know? And that is something that is hard to hear. It is hard to take in and process. And you did all of that.
Well, I do think that there is some thought that is behind any resistance that we're facing. And if you mm-hmm. can figure out what that thought is that's holding you up, because for me, it was the whole, I don't know what to do. And mm-hmm. that was the lie that I kept telling myself and reinforcing, and it wasn't true.
Yeah.
So,
and I think that's such a great point. Because as coach and other coaches, we want to provide you the tools. We don't give you the answers to the test. Okay. It is, here's the tools. Now it's like why we don't give, most of us don't give meal plans. We want to arm you with maybe how to create your own meal plan, which is why I talk a lot about planning ahead of time, or why I talk about making that protein cheat sheet, or why, you know, I've talked about having go-to meals that you can just literally go to when you don't want to think, because you yep. already have that in your vocabulary. It's learning that over mm-hmm. time that will carry you.
Well, it's carried me a
yeah.
good way here.
Well, it's carrying you. So tell me a little bit about how you go about your planning. Like you were talking about planning. What is kind of the process for you?
Well, what I've been doing is just in the evening sitting down. I always make sure that I have my protein sources available mm-hmm. and it's building my meals around my protein.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, I was making it so much harder than I had to.
In what way?
Like I told myself that I needed more variety.
But that's really common.
Yeah, I was like, I can't just eat the same thing every day. Well, guess what? The last four mornings, I've had the same breakfast and the same lunch, and I'm not dying.
Yeah. Funny how that is.
No. And I'm not bored either, you know, because if I can change it up if I decide to have a snack that day, then I, you know, and I'm also making sure that I'm not being really restrictive and putting things that I love in my plan. I love peanut butter. Mm-hmm. So
perfect.
I make room for it.
Mm-hmm.
And don't feel guilty about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah. And you shouldn't. You shouldn't. Not with peanut butter or anything. Actually. Peanut butter or chocolate or nuh-uh.
Yeah.
Absolutely. What are some of your go-to meals that you feel like you can turn to in a pinch? You usually have the ingredients, you know how to make them, you know the calorie breakdown, and you like.
Yeah. I would say I consistently have salmon in my refrigerator.
Awesome.
Or in my fridge. Yeah. So I can throw those, even if they're frozen, I can throw them on the grill for a few minutes on each side and roast Brussels sprouts. Like that to me is divine. And I get different vinegars from the oil and vinegar store. And just, I used to think that I had to have the oil also, but the vinegars give it enough flavor and the spice that I use. And so that's always around. And any kind of protein source, even if it's just ground beef or ground turkey at lunchtime, that with some microwavable vegetables, mm-hmm. I'm good to go.
Boy, those
I can just make it like a bowl and, you know, just mix the ground beef and vegetables
yep.
and have a little salsa and
that. So you and I think a lot alike. I think people want to overcomplicate this and the simpler you can keep things, like make a bowl and yeah, you put some ground beef, maybe you have some rice or whatever, you have a bunch of vegetables, toss it in some of that vinegar or some seasonings and Yeah, I'm good to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and that, you know, has taken time because I was, like I said earlier, I was wanting to complicate it and make these really elaborate recipes. And it's like, stop it. Yeah. just fuel yourself.
Yeah, yeah, for
nourishing
sure.
Nourishing food that you enjoy.
Yeah, it's just that. How do you handle going out for dinner or something like that? How do you do that?
Well, you and I have also worked a bit on this, and this is still kind of challenging for me, but it's just setting bright lines mm-hmm. that I go with a plan in mind. If I can look online at the menu and figure out what I want to eat ahead of time, great. If I can't, I kind of set, you know, I'm going to have a couple of beers and I'll share an entree and that will be it, you know. So I just kind of try and set those deals with myself as far as what feels comfortable and appropriate for the situation. And sometimes I don't meet them, you know. I'll have that, you know, extra handful of chips or whatever, but I just don't beat myself up. And
you just keep going. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And just to put out there, so bright lines are basically rules, non-negotiable rules or lines that you don't cross, that you give yourself before you go to an event or you go out for dinner or whatever. And the reason that they're so effective is that it kind of takes the anxiety out of a situation from the perspective of, I don't want to blow my progress. I want to keep this under control. There's going to be a lot of yummy food there. Oh no, what do I do? I don't know how to handle this. And, you know, instead of going into an event with a bunch of unanswered questions like that, you set yourself some guidelines before you go, and they're non-negotiable. So that means you do them. There's no what ifs, you just do them. And so as Melissa was just saying, you know, you could give yourself a bright line of, okay, I'm going to have one glass of wine and then one plate of food. So I'm going to this party and there's going to be this buffet with all this wonderful food. So I'm going to have one glass of wine and I'm going to have one plate of food. Now I can put whatever I want on that plate of food, but after it's gone, I'm done with the food. And that, and then what that does, it just keeps everything in control. And it keeps you from going back and grazing and picking and eating and munching. And the calories from something like that could be astronomical. Whereas you may have still gone over your calories, but you've kept it under control and you've been able to enjoy and partake and have a great time. And there's no anxiety anymore because you already know what's going to happen before you go.
Yeah. Well, and you get stronger and more confident in keeping your own word to your own self. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
It's not perfect. I have had an extra handful of chips at the Mexican food restaurant, but I don't have five handfuls.
Yeah. You don't order the next basket. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which, by the way, easily can happen because, you know,
I've done.
Yeah. I mean, those things go fast.
Yes, they do. And unconsciously, you know, especially if you're having a good time and enjoying friends and, you know what I mean? You just don't pay attention sometimes.
Yeah. And you know, eventually what bright lines hopefully do over a bigger picture is give you the confidence in yourself to just go to these things and not worry about it anymore. Know what you want to do. Informally or whatever. And, you know, if you want to just do whatever you want to do, then do whatever you want to do. If you want to put some limits, you can put some limits. But it gives you control. And I think that's where a lot of people feel like they get lost is when they just don't have control anymore.
Yeah.
And I know I was just going to say that I think that we are always in more control than we give ourselves credit for.
Definitely.
Yeah. So if you were to say one thing that you think has been a game changer for you, kind of in the way that you've come to this spot where you are now, the one thing, what would you tell everybody?
I mean, I guess I would just have to say, as we spoke earlier, it's just that when you have those sore spots, those, you know, where you're feeling the most resistance, or, you know, it's making you angry, or you're just not wanting to do what you need to do to meet your goals, just be aware of what your thoughts are. You know, what am I thinking? What am I telling myself? And is it true? And that for me has meant everything.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the classic case of calling yourself out and being honest.
Yeah.
And once you do that, I think everything changes.
Well, thank you so much.
You are just like a role model. And I want everyone to really understand what Melissa has done here, because it's easy to spin your wheels. It's much easier to stay where you are and spin your wheels and not want to move forward by having to admit something, change something, redo something. So much easier to stay where you are. And she chose the hard route to say it to herself, admit it to herself. And now the fresh start, it's been amazing. And you know, this turnaround is not super old. You know, I mean, you haven't been like this for a long time, but the difference is stunning just in how you talk.
Well, I feel it. And I'm so glad that you recognize it, you know, that you were able to tell just from chatting with me.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you are just a rock star, Melissa, an absolute rock star. By the way, she has been crushing it in the gym too. Just you're progressing, getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And that's just amazing to see as well.
Wow. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
And I'm having
that.
Imagine that.
That is probably the best thing I could ever hear, because it is fun. You know,
it is.
It really is fun. And so that makes me as happy as anything else, I have to tell you.
Great.
Well, thank you so much for doing this. I think your story and how you've done this is going to resonate with so many people. So I really, really appreciate you coming on with me today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And you and I will talk soon.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
Love you. Bye-bye. Bye.